My calling came because I had come into Christian Science, and I found it was feeding my spiritual hunger.
What I began to realize quickly was that it's not about me. People are not really calling me personally. They're responding to the light of love, which I'm serving as a transparency for.
Well, one of the things that inspired me to really be obedient to that calling to go into the full-time public practice was a deeper understanding of God as love and a deeper feeling of compassion and love for my community and my world.
How would you like to be part of a holy calling? Find out how next.
Hello, welcome to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. Today our topic is Christian Science Practice, a Holy Calling. I'm Barbara Vining. I will be moderating and participating in this discussion. I'm a Christian Science teacher and practitioner and editor of the Christian Science Sentinel, Journal, and Herald. I live in Boston, and I'm going to be talking with Allison Rose Sonneson, a Christian Science practitioner from the District of Columbia. Allison is also a committee on publication for the District of Columbia. And she is married and is kept quite busy with her practice and her work as committee on publication. John Biggs is also with us. He's from Maryland Heights, Missouri. He's married and has one son. So, John and Allison, welcome.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be with both you and John.
Thank you so much for including me. I love being with you all.
All right. Well, I'm going to give a brief introduction. What Christian Science Practice is, it is a holy calling because it is divine love working in the practitioner. And that makes it supremely practical, because God's love brings physical healing and reformation of character through the practitioner's prayers. It's based on the Bible, especially the teachings of Christ Jesus, and the revelation of the spiritual meaning of Jesus' teachings that came to Mary Baker Eddy, healed her, enabled her to heal others, and to write the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. When a student of the Bible and Science and Health experiences divine love uplifting his or her thought and bringing healing, it becomes natural to yearn for others to experience God's healing love and to feel called to devote full time to the public practice of Christian Science, to make it one's career, being available for anyone, not just Christian Scientists, to come for healing. The practice is one of prayer based on a spiritual understanding of God as love and truth, and of everyone as God's spiritual reflection. It's not faith healing or human psychology, and no drugs or other material methods are used. The public practice is quite a commitment. The practitioner is self-employed, paid by clients, not by the church, and can have no other employment unless employed by the Mother Church in Boston in its outreach activities to the world. The practitioner is available to those in need whenever that need arises. Love calls the practitioner to this work and ministers to the patient, and the work is held in sacred confidentiality. So, would like to start our discussion just asking John and Allison how each of you came into the public practice. What made you feel called to devote your life to this work?
Sure. A calling is just the perfect word. I had just gotten married and we'd moved out to Bend, Oregon to start a new life together. And my wife was applying, enlisting in the Christian Science Journal as a practitioner. And I was taking a retail job because, of course, I felt like we needed a steady income. But we went to a Thanksgiving celebration with my extended family, all of whom are very friendly to Christian Science. And every single one of them asked me why I was working retail and why I wasn't pursuing the public practice of Christian Science, because they knew that was what I wanted to do. And when you talk to 20 different people explaining why you're not doing what you really know you ought to be doing, well, it has a way of changing your mind. So on the drive home, I asked my wife if she would support me as well, applying to list in the journal, and she said she'd love to support that. So I quit my retail job on the busiest day of the year, on Black Friday. it was a wonderful thing. That primary concern about money that I'd had, it's so wonderful to include that sense of income and supply in my prayers and in my practice. And if God is calling you, He's not going to leave you unable to follow that calling. We've loved turning to God to keep discovering more about that.
And we'll talk more about that because that's such an important aspect. How long have you been in the public practice?
For about 9 years.
About 9 years. And Allison, can you tell us how you decided to answer that call?
Well, I've cherished going into the full-time public practice since I was a child. I just had such a wonderful experience working with Christian Science practitioners, and I loved Sunday school, and I had opportunities to apply Christian Science at school, and it just kind of grew as I became an adult. I had opportunities to help people through Christian Science prayer and treatment. And so it was something that I felt called to do, but just wasn't exactly sure how the timing was going to work out to make that commitment. And then I was working for the United States Congress here in Washington, D.C. And I found that the more that I prayed about my work, the more I felt impelled to make praying my full-time job. So I left working for Congress and went into the full-time healing practice about 4 years ago.
Wonderful. And how long one has been in the practice really has nothing to do with the effectiveness of one's ability to heal, because God is the healer. So don't be intimidated by my saying that I went into the practice 54 years ago. But right after I took class instruction in Christian Science, actually, while I was taking class, and I lived in a small southern Minnesota town that had just one little Christian Science church and one practitioner that wasn't active at the time. And so right during class, I asked my teacher, shouldn't I have more experience before I go into the public practice? And he just looked at me and said, well, not when there's a need. And so when I went home, I made a little office right in my living room of my home, and this was in August. And in September, when they went back to school, the one child was going into second grade, and the younger one was going into kindergarten. So I had my office hours in my living room, but my calling came because I had come into Christian Science, and I found it was feeding my spiritual hunger. It was just so reasonable, not only holy, very holy, and such precious inspiration, but so practical. I found myself healed of something I never was even seeking healing for. And I found the more I started to learn about the truth of God's true nature and man's nature as God's child, as Christian Science teaches, healings just were coming along quite naturally. But it is a calling. So once you're listed in the Christian Science Journal, once you've already had some patients, what in the world brings patients to you? Do you have to go out and shout to everybody that you're in the public practice of Christian Science?
Well, one of the things that inspired me to really be obedient to that calling to go into the full-time public practice was a deeper understanding of God as love and a deeper feeling of compassion and love for my friends and family, as well as also for my community and my world. And so I just felt such a sense of wanting to help the world, wanting to help humanity. And so I really think about the fact that the most attractive and needed thing in the world is an understanding of divine love. And Christian Science is the comforter.
That's right, Allison. And Jesus promised that a comforter would come that would bring spiritual understanding to light on all that he had taught. As a Christian Scientist, I understand that Christian Science is that comforter. It's with us now.
Yes, and it's the truth about who we are as God's children that heals. And Mary Baker Eddy's definition of Christ in the Glossary in Science and Health, she says that it's the divine manifestation of God which comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error. And I found that, and I continue to find that, the more that I pray for the world, the more that I pray for myself and I grow spiritually in that understanding of God and my relationship with Him, that's naturally attractive. That has brought patients into my practice.
Sure. I used to think that I had to try and come up with strategies to network. You know, I needed to write a certain amount of blog posts every day. I needed to make up my own networking strategy. But very much like what Allison is talking about, what I began to realize quickly was that it's not about me. People are not really calling me personally. They're responding to the light of love, which I'm serving as a transparency for. But the point is God. And so I've been very inspired. Mrs. Eddy's writing in her book, Rudimental Divine Science, on page 8, she says, "Be honest, be true to thyself, and true to others, then it follows thou wilt be strong in God, the eternal good. Heal through truth and love. There is no other healer."
That's wonderful. And so that's how people find us, right?
Yes, they're not really seeking us personally. They're seeking that light of love, and we're just serving as transparencies for that love.
Uh-huh.
And that's what God made us to be, and there's no personal willpower involved in that.
Right. People can call or text you or send emails, or they can come to an office. I started, as I said, with my office in my living room. How about you, Allison? Did you have an office in the home or outside the home?
I have an office in my home, and I do have patients that make appointments and come see me here. But I also, there are sometimes needs for me to go to where the patient is, and whether it's their home or meet them somewhere to have a conversation or at a Christian Science care facility. So I'm always trying to make myself available and be flexible to meet their needs.
Yes. And where do these patients come from? Are they just in your locality?
I've worked with people all across the country of the United States, as well as across the world.
The same. I'm so grateful for the flexibility that we have with technology, that we can talk to somebody literally on the other side of the world, live over the computer, or we can be in touch via text or email. And so it shows for me the universality of Christian Science and the ever presence of divine love in meeting needs.
That's right. And so it's really the state of one's consciousness and the truth and love that's showing through. That's what attracts people, isn't it? I have oftentimes when I've been praying or studying the Bible lesson made up of passages from the Bible and science and health, or when I've been writing an article for a Christian Science publication, and something has really become clear to me, some spiritual idea, and somebody I've never ever known or heard of before, you know, maybe across the country or across the world, will call or text or email and ask you for help about the very thing that you've been praying about, which shows that it's really the one mind or divine mind that is the attraction. So when we're praying each day, what does our daily preparation consist of? Does Christian Science involve prayer that has some kind of mantra or formula? Or does it come just from God's speaking to your listening, receptive thought?
That's absolutely what I found. And for me, it begins by praying for myself. And so I study the Bible. I study science and health with Key to the Scriptures. But I also take time to commune with God, to listen to what God has to share with me about himself and about my relationship with God and about God's relationship with all of us. And I really pray to have a deeper understanding of the fact that there's one infinite mind, God, and that that mind is the only communicator. And so that's true for me, and it's true for my patients as well.
How about you, John? How do you prepare yourself?
I love to pray. It's so helpful to remember throughout the day, I'm not just praying because it's my job. I love to pray. And I let that love to pray be informed by God's love for me. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And the more I let it remember that my prayer is a natural outflow of my relation with God, then I'm guided into how to meet the opportunities that come each day. I love to pray the Lord's Prayer every day, and I take very close to heart when Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So while I do pray with the words he gave us of the Lord's Prayer, I loved how you said that Christian Science is not formulaic. What is the attitude of the Lord's Prayer? And I strive to live that attitude, to live in a way that shows I know God is my Father. That naturally includes prayer for myself, to recognize myself as God's child, and includes others, that we are all safe in his heaven, safe with our needs supplied by him.
You know, I was thinking of a passage from Mary Baker Eddy's First Church of Christ Scientist and Miscellany on page 160. She says, to live so as to keep human consciousness in constant relation with the divine, the spiritual, and the eternal is to individualize infinite power. And this is Christian Science. We have all kinds of things that can come up in our personal lives that seem to be in conflict with our need to be ready to heal. But actually, John and Allison, what you've been saying is that Christian Science is really a way of life. It's not just something that you do during certain hours of the day. When you get interrupted by some family thing or something, it's an opportunity to bring that healing effect right to that situation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes, there was one morning that my son needed to get to school, and my son was not helping the process. but I knew that I didn't have to take off my practitioner hat, put on my disciplinarian hat, that I could always wear my hat as the child of God. And I just knew that yelling wasn't going to help. I just needed to love this boy. And it was so interesting. On the way to school, someone called who is in the middle of a big need and needed immediate help. I was in the perfect place to pull off the side of the road and talk with them. And I was so grateful that I could maintain this love. And there was healing and resolution. And we were even early to school. It was wonderful how God just opened the whole way. All I needed to do was listen more to him than to those temptations of impatience or annoyance.
Wonderful. How about you, Allison?
Well, I've had similar experiences. I remember one time I was just about to get into the car with some family members to go to the airport to fly to see other family members for the holidays. And I got a phone call from someone who had a serious need. And I just was so grateful. I knew the ever presence of God could never be disrupted, and that I could feel that, the patient could feel that. I had a 2-hour flight, and I was able to get internet service on the flight. And so I had some updates from the patient, and I was able to just use that time to pray, to be quiet and listen to what God had to say about his creation and governance and care of his creation. And by the time I arrived at the family member's home, in total about 4 hours later, the patient was healed. And I was so grateful for that, that it didn't matter if I was in airports, on airplanes, in vehicles, that didn't prevent me from following Jesus' command to go into my closet, to the stillness and quietness of my consciousness, and just listen to what God knows to be true. And so that was really a wonderful example for me of the way that God governs his creation.
Lovely. And, you know, it's really, of course, God is the consciousness we need to be at one with. But it's all about loving his children, isn't it? About loving every individual, regardless of what their circumstance is. And so patients have they come from different experiences. Some are fairly new or unfamiliar with Christian Science. Others are been longtime Christian Scientists. You need to be able to kind of listen quietly for what their need really is, because there may be things in their consciousness that you may discern. Again, this is not human psychology, but because of your spiritual awareness, you discern something that needs healing. Have you had that experience, Allison, where the patient may have a particular thing they're talking about, but you discern something else, and that helps to bring the healing?
Absolutely. Well, I think sometimes Christian Scientists may not realize how many people who are not familiar with Christian Science or would not consider themselves Christian Scientists may talk to practitioners looking for healing or looking to learn more about God and Christian Science. And I've certainly found, particularly in those cases, that it's an opportunity to discern a deeper need. The language may be coming in using terminology from a different faith background or psychology, but underlying the real need has been, for me, in many cases, it's a need to be loved, a need to feel a deeper sense of love, the love that is God, an understanding of the Comforter, as we understand in Christian Science, that divine truth that makes us free. And so it does take going beyond the terminology and what maybe even a description of symptoms to really just getting a better understanding of whatever the real need is.
Yeah, you know, patients have different expectations. Sometimes they want personal advice. Is that something that a practitioner should get involved in?
No, never. We don't want the patient coming to us personally as it's about God. We're transparencies for God. And so we love to stand with the patient as they listen for God. A hymn that's been very helpful for me in illustrating my practice. Hymn 64 in the Christian Science Hymnal. From sense to soul, my pathway lies before me, from mist and shadow into truth's clear day. The dawn of all things real is breaking over me. My heart is singing. I found the way. And they're just asking me to stand with them while we watch the sunrise. They're asking us to stand with them while those mist and shadows melt away.
Yeah.
And if I give advice, then I'm saying that I'm their sunlight. I'm trying to exhibit inappropriate control. And it takes self-discipline sometimes to not give advice, but I'm always so grateful that God is our shepherd.
Yeah, you know, I find, and Allison, you can share with us something about this too, because I find that if you simply pray through prayer and a few simple words, you can help to show the patient that they can trust their own God-given judgment of listening to the truth and knowing what decisions to make, which direction to go. When they feel capable, it makes all the difference in the world. How about you, Allison? What have you found when someone seems to be wanting your advice?
I agree with you completely. And I think that sometimes there is a sense that there's just a fear to stand alone, or they feel like they're alone and trying to make a decision. And as John says, we're really turning them to God.
Yeah, right.
for their answer. God is their father, their mother. As Mary Baker Eddy writes in Miscellaneous Writings, she says that God is our parent, our physician. And one of the things that I really pray about in my practice is that the same mind that is God, that is sharing with me what is true about the patient, is also sharing this with the patient. It's mm-hmm. not my job to convey that to the patient. God is telling the patient.
Right.
And so it takes a sense of personal advice out of the equation and just preserves that inseparability between God and man.
Right. You know, it's really about having a lot of patience and love. It's just praying quietly while a patient is talking. It means really you're loving what they really are as God's children, that they are not coming to you as imperfect mortals. They are really God's spiritual perfect reflection. And whatever that they're having a problem with, whether it's physical or relationship or business or whatever it is, it can be healed by a true understanding of what they really are as God's expression. It's about perfect God and perfect man as God's image, and just loving that. And then you discern the opposite truth about what they are saying, whatever is discordant or painful, is not sent by God, and it cannot touch their true identity. So it's really about the prayer that awakens the patient to their true identity, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And doesn't the patient have some kind of responsibility? What is their responsibility? I would think it has to do with coming with a sense of receptivity.
Yes, and expectation of healing.
Yes.
I love the story in the third chapter in Acts where Peter and John are about to go into the temple. And the man is there at the gate, and he asks an alms of them. And Peter says that, I don't have money to give you, but what I have is, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. But before he came to that, the Bible tells us that the man expected to receive something of them.
Yes.
And that receptivity was there, that expectancy of good and of healing. And I certainly, as a practitioner, am always expectant of that, because it's always there. The perfection of our spiritual identity is always there.
Right.
It's like the cloud that comes in front of the sun. It doesn't ever stop the sun from shining. We just have to disperse the mist of whatever might be seeming to cause us to see differently.
That's right. So I hope that whoever has been listening will think about the Christian Science practice as being a holy calling, and that they will feel blessed by it. Thank you, Allison, John also. We're so grateful to you for devoting yourselves to this holy work. And we just love talking with you today.
Well, thank you. It was lovely being with you both.
Thank you. So glad to get to be with you.
I've been speaking with John Biggs and Allison Rose Sonneson, both practitioners of Christian Science Healing.
That's our program for today. If you like what you've heard and think it might help a friend, please share this program with them by using the Share button on the top left-hand side of the webpage. Pressing the Share button allows you to share our programs using Facebook, Twitter, or email. And when your friend clicks through, they'll be able to listen to the program without needing a subscription. And thanks for listening to this edition of Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.